Okay. PFLAG stands for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. Had its beginnings in 72 in New York City, when Jean Manford marched with her gay son in New York's Gay Pride Parade, and many gay and lesbian young people wanted to talk to Jean to see if Jean would talk to their parents. That was the beginning. And of so many things that you've been involved with, you're also involved now in the local chapter of PFLAG, and you became president of Tulsa-based PFLAG as it was known then.
Right.
Tell us how that came about.
I think ours is a typical story of a family who has a child who is gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, or questioning. Our youngest daughter struggled in emerging adolescence and adolescence. And as a family, we were not sure about what her struggles were all about. I thought, and Joe thought, that we had always been a very open family with lots of interaction and lots of dynamics. But this little girl seemed to be more withdrawn, not as talkative, not willing to share exactly who she was or what she was doing or what she was dealing with. So, you know, we'd ask questions like, how are things going for you? I'm okay. You have to remember this is in the early 80s. The words gay, lesbian, bi, transgender were not words used on television. They were not words used in the Tulsa world. There was not books in the library. There wasn't a lot of information for young people who were dealing with their sexuality. And so our daughter had a difficult time, I think, in high school. She had lots of friends, but she didn't date. She was a tremendous soccer player, a great student, in many ways an overachiever. People liked her, at least from her mom's point of view. And she was accepted at Tufts University, which is a private school out east, to play soccer. And at Christmas time that year, 1985, she came home and she said to us, you know, Mom and Dad, I think I'm gay. I think I'm gay. At that point in time, it became a real issue because now all of a sudden it was on the table. So we had to deal with it as a family.
Were you suspecting this all along?
We sort of thought about it, but I don't think we had the words. I didn't have the words. It was not something that was talked about. Joe certainly knew more about it than I did. But even Joe, as a physician, said, I didn't have any of this in medical school. They didn't talk about this in medical school. So, you know, our experience was January 1st, 1985, when she said, you know, Mom and Dad, I think I'm gay. Then it was real. So we really had to think about it. And I had read an article written by a mother whose son was HIV positive in one of those women's magazines. I don't even remember what it was. But it had made a reference to Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, which was headquartered at that point in time in Washington, D.C. So January 2nd, I called the national office. Their response to me was, there's no one in Oklahoma, there's no one in Texas, there's no one in New Mexico, there's no one in Kansas, there's no one in Missouri. But there is a mom in Denver, Colorado that I think you could talk to. I went away from that experience thinking, my gosh, I am the only mother in this region who has a lesbian daughter.
What was your immediate response to your daughter? How did you handle that at that moment?
I love you. And I remember Joe just embracing her. And we'll go through this together. We'll figure this out.
So then it was up to you to reach out to someone else.
And it's not easy because I really didn't know anything about this topic. I really didn't. I was very ignorant. But I certainly got on the fast track of learning. And I did call Eleanor Llewellyn in Denver, Colorado, and she was extremely helpful. It is so helpful to have a parent talk to another parent about what is this, what is your child dealing with, how did you deal with it as a family, particularly at that point in time. It has changed today. Joe and I sort of struggled, and we really got a lot of reading material and brought ourselves up to speed on this. Morva went back to college feeling really good about all of this. She felt good, as most gay kids do once they come out. locally, well, I remember Joe saying, well, we're not the only parents, Nancy. Come on. So we started the local PFLAG chapter here in Tulsa. Our first meeting, we didn't have anyone come. I mean, we didn't know how to do this.
How did you announce it? How did you advertise it?
Well, I went to the editorial board before I started the chapter and told them what I was going to do. They agreed to do an article in the paper. And interesting enough, Joe and I did not use our real names. We used fictitious names because there was some concerns about us being identified.
The paper chose to do that?
Yeah, right. The Tulsa World did an article on PFLAG and these parents. But they also did, parallel to that, an article on Exodus, which was parents of children who could change. So anyway, we had some calls and we set up a helpline. And from that article, we began to get some response. Because we were still searching for the gay community in Tulsa. We didn't even know if that existed. And eventually we found Tulsa Oklahomans for Human Rights, which was meeting at the library at that point in time, but was really dealing with the HIV/AIDS crisis. So we started the PFLAG chapter in Tulsa, and it just took off like gangbusters. The interesting thing, John, that I learned and eventually was difficult for me to handle is that I also became much more aware that the youngsters that were committing suicide in Tulsa public schools were probably gay. And we were not doing anything for them. Nothing. Nothing. And no one was willing to do anything for them. And the administration was not willing to do anything for them. And our teachers were not prepared. But our gay teachers were not willing to do anything for them because they were not protected.
In 1985, now we're talking about.
That's right. That was a really difficult time for me because kids were taking their own life.